This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
This is the Big K Morning Show, Larry Richard, and every Wednesday in this hour, we have in studio with us the Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, Rich Fitzgerald. Rich, good morning.
Good morning. There's a lot going on these days with the weather breaking, St. Patrick's Day Parade coming up, daylight savings, downtown doing some things. It's an exciting time.
And a significant five-year, I don't want to call it an anniversary, that suggests it's something good, but the COVID shutdown leading into the St. Patrick's Day parade, which snow couldn't stop in 1993, high winds, water, cold temperatures, but COVID shut down the parade, and as you pointed out, the partying still went on, and then the next day you had to shut everything down.
5 years ago, on this day, I think, is when the NHL and the NBA made a decision to suspend some of the season. I think the Pirates and the Major League teams were starting to send their players home. We had canceled the parade. I think by Tuesday or Wednesday, we made the announcement. But you're right. The partying went on in Market Square, Southside. The bars were open that Saturday. St. Patrick's Day that year happened to be on Tuesday, a few days later.
Right.
That Sunday, Dr. Bogan, who had just become the health department director, held a very famous in the park announcement saying everything shut down. And the bars were shut down for that Tuesday night. And, you know, schools started to be shut down. We were learning so much, and we didn't know so much about what was to come. And the world really did shut down. And in many ways, downtown Pittsburgh has still really never recovered from that 5 years ago.
Fully. And yeah. as many other cities
across the
country.
Yes.
The fact that 1.2 million Americans died directly due to COVID, so the threat was very real. But you didn't have the benefit of hindsight in everything. What would you have done differently, if anything?
I think there were two things as a society we didn't do well. How seniors, senior centers, nursing homes, senior care facilities weren't able to protect in so many ways. And shutting things down really isolated seniors. And I've seen the aging process go in my own family, how that happened. And I think schools, I think that whole year and a half of kids not being in class was detrimental. We probably could have figured out a way to do it in a safe manner. And I feel bad for those kids, like their senior year of sports or their senior year of activities, or, you know, you just don't get that year back the way when you're an adult. You know, we have a 30-year or 40-year work career. But those are a couple of things I think we probably would have done differently.
We were the only station manned during that time because we're the official emergency broadcast. radio station, FEMA, and
you came in. You were not a remote. Yeah, you.
But we didn't know where this was going, so it was very unsettling. But day in, day out, and I do want to thank you. I know you were on every day with Marty giving updates. That was. Please don't overlook the importance of you doing that, because that was tune in radio, because we wanted to know daily what the updates were. And that went on for a long time.
It went on for a very long time, and we would get the counts, how many people were infected, how many people tested positive. And as those numbers rose, more things would be shut down, if you will, or minimized. And as the numbers came down, we'd start to open things back up. And it again, working with the State Department of Health, working with the federal government, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx at that time, it really was an unsettling time, because none of us knew. And there wasn't a vaccine for a while. I mean, we didn't have the vaccine until late that year, early the year.
You were one of the guinea pigs that offered to do it. And I give you a lot of credit, because nobody knew for sure. But you got the vaccine. You were one of the first in the world to do it.
Yeah, Dr. Bogan, convinced me to do that. Now Secretary Bogan, she's the Secretary of Health for Governor Shapiro, and she had come from UPMC. We actually had to hire her a little quicker than she wanted to. She was going to start in May, and we had to go to her bosses and to her and say, Dr. Bogan, you can't wait till May. We need you right now. And she did, and she spent an enormous amount of time bringing our experts together, Pitt Med, UPMC, AHN, St. Clair, Heritage Valley, the medical experts that came together during that time was really unprecedented. And what I had learned during that time was the last pandemic back in 1918, 1919, the Spanish flu, Pittsburgh actually led the nation in per capita death, because we didn't shut anything down. The industry just basically controlled things. And at the time, it was the city Department of Health. The Department of Health was run by the city of Pittsburgh, and they were kind of overruled by industry and corporate community. We learned a lot of lessons. And, again, I'm sure hopefully there won't be another one for at least 100 years. We won't be around for that one, but you try to learn lessons and how to deal with all those very, very difficult decisions.
Well, I appreciate, so many people do, your leadership through that crisis time. I'm sure you're glad we're way beyond that now.
We are. We are indeed.
We have opportunities, construction jobs. You're going to meet a young man who's done a tremendous job in helping young people get the training they need to fulfill these jobs. Coming up next, and it's a familiar name.
It's a name. This gentleman, we'll tease it. He wears a number of hats, and he's done some amazing things in this town over the last few years.
Including with a great football team. Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. A lot of the work you do in the 10 counties and the cities is finding way to attract jobs. It's part of the mission, right?
It's part of the mission. Also, training people, getting the skills into people to get those jobs that are out there. And who we have with us right now is probably a familiar name in another realm. I'm sure the folks next door at the Fan know all about Dante Green and his success as a football coach. But we want to talk to him today. He runs an organization called the Trade Institute of Pittsburgh, which trains young people. And in many ways, young people have had some challenges, some issues in life in the construction field, mainly in masonry, cement, the bricklayers, carpenters, and the bricklayers union and the carpenters union. And he just got some big grants that have come through to help expand and train even more people. Director Green, welcome. We want to hear a lot about what you guys are doing, the exciting things that are happening at the Trade Institute of Pittsburgh.
Oh, thanks, Rich. Thanks, Larry. I appreciate you guys taking the time to have me on. But yeah, a lot of exciting things happening in our region, and just excited to play a small part in the workforce redevelopment of our region.
Well, let me make it official. Westinghouse Bulldogs head football coach, champion Dante Green. So I didn't know that you also did this kind of work, Coach. This is tremendous.
A lot of people don't know. They believe coaching is my full-time job. So I often say jokingly, you know, I coach football and I run a small organization at Homewood on the side.
Well, tell us a little bit about the amount of people over the last decade or so who really have been, their lives have been changed. They've been impacted in a way that they're able to get, substantial employment, great jobs, great opportunities to have a career. And how many people are in the program? How many have gone through the program? And detail a little bit about Director Green, about what the Trade Institute of Pittsburgh does.
Absolutely. So over the last, say, 10, 11 years, we've trained and graduated and placed in jobs over 700 people. Right now, we have an all-time high of 54 students in class right now. Last year, we had our best year. We graduated and employed 103 students. And this year, we're on track to graduate about 140. So we're poised to service the most vulnerable population of our community, get them jobs, but more importantly, stabilize their lives, get them all the resources they need in order to catapult into the next phase of their lives. And that's really what we're all about.
And one of the things that just happened, you just recently received a grant, I believe, from the Department of Labor, as well as some other private grants from philanthropy who've seen some of the great work that you're doing and want to help train even more people for the jobs. And as you said, as you indicated, you also provide other services for people that might need, whether it be some housing, some transportation, and some other needs to help them fulfill their goals.
Yeah, we got support from, you said, Department of Labor. The Lowe's Foundation gave us a big grant, and a lot of it is wrapped around replication and expansion. As of right now, in our physical footprint, we're pretty much busting at the seams. I think the space that we're in now was perfect for an organization 7 years ago, 8 years ago, but as we're growing and growing staff, when we took over in 2021, the leadership, I mean, we had 7 full-time staff, and we're up to over 23 staff now. So, these grants are going to allow us to think about expansion, and then also having conversations with people across the state and even up and down the Appalachia region, or doing a feasibility study to figure out what this replication looks like for our organization. Can we pick this organization up and put it in different regions and it be successful? So really excited about that. And you had mentioned, some of the wraparound services. I mean, honestly, everybody who walks in our doors has a different journey to a career path. So the first thing we do is figure out where are the gaps in our lives. We fill those gaps, and then that's when the training begins. And it's been exciting. It's exciting work. And it really dovetails really well with the work that I do at Westinghouse.
I think it would be wonderful to see this replicated across the region, across the Appalachian, because you have shown success. You've shown a pathway of being able to help people, and again, the needs in the construction industry are going to be, they're going to continue to grow. We see that. I hear that all throughout the region. Skilled workers are really needed, and what you're doing is really so important. So before we wrap up, though, Coach, back to Coach, we know the Steelers need a quarterback. Do you have one coming out that might be in the Derby?
Well, I'll put this plug out there. Just have Coach Tomlin give me a call. We can figure it out.
I'm sure Coach Tomlin's well aware of your work. Dante Green, head football coach at Westinghouse, and more important is the jobs that you're helping train young people to get. How satisfying is that? I'm sure, especially in the construction where it's real tangible, the work you're doing is making a difference every day, and what that does to a young person, giving them hope for the future.
It's the greatest feeling in the world to see someone come through our doors, looking at our organization as the last chance, as their last hope, and then seeing them walk out knowing that they have the power to bet on themselves is one of the most gratifying feelings in the world. I don't feel like I work a day in my life because I get to do what we do at the Trade Institute of Pittsburgh.
And what's the demand out there for workers?
Honestly, contractors say as fast as you can train them is as fast as we'll hire them.
I've always seen, I've been going out there for many years with the director, when they graduate, they have a job. They're not waiting around. They are literally ready to go to work. They graduate on a Saturday and they go to work on a Monday.
That's it. That's the hope. In a perfect world, that happens, and more times than not, that's the situation, especially around this time of the year.
Well, yeah. Appreciate the work you do, Coach. Thank you.
Keep up the great work, Dante.
On and
Thank
off
you.
The field.
Yes, both. Thanks.
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it.
All right. Dante Green, Executive Director of the Trade Institute and Westinghouse High School's
Bulldogs coach,
been very successful there, getting young men, you know, motivated and disciplined, which also goes a long way to helping them establish a future.
Yeah, they're in a building, an old Westinghouse plant, the Susquehanna building, just a few blocks from the Westinghouse High School campus.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald in studio every Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour. You cannot move in this town without talking about the quarterback's situation with the Steelers. I was laughing. Rich and I were talking. We saw Adam Crawley and Duren Dickerson from The Fan, and I joked to those guys, Rich, that's all you talk about year-round, something related to the Steelers. But when it's the quarterback situation, it's even bigger.
Well, I hope they're talking about Robert Morris this morning, because I think that was a big deal for them and Coach Toole and his team getting to the big dance. We have obviously have March Madness coming up. Opening day's a few weeks away. The Penguins have now won two games in a row, which is nice, and the goalie situation. But you're right. None of that gets talked about. It all gets pushed aside because 52 weeks of the year, it's football season in this world.
You know, think about it. We're a month away from April, obviously, and then the draft countdown really gets underway, although the work collectively to kind of shape up the region is underway.
The preparation is absolutely underway. And just yesterday, we had a big announcement. The Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership unveiled some signage, wayfinding signage for people to be able to learn their way around town into the North Shore.
And what? People are going to know where to go?
Signage. You know, this is a one-way street. This is blocked off. This is under construction. So you'll know which way to go. Yeah, the mayor, the county executive, the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership, Jason Zhang from PennDOT, the SPC, we were part of it. It was a big announcement. And, you know, a lot of the players visit Pittsburgh and many of the downtown businesses. So there is a lot of preparation going on, as you know. Point State Park, the Governor Shapiro's put a lot of money to speed up the readiness for that, where a lot of the activities are going to happen. The Arts Park on 8th and Penn is moving forward, Market Square. So, yes, the preparation is going on. But as you said, they're going to be in Green Bay for the draft next month, and then the clock starts ticking towards Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and they're also going to look, and as they did in Detroit last year, how these cities are handling it. One of the big issues is we anticipate hundreds of thousands of people coming. Where do you put everybody?
Well, and I give the Steelers have really done a great job working with the NFL, who obviously this is an NFL event. The Steelers are partnering with it and try to do the local work. They've brought in all the county commissioners from around the region have been part of it around transportation, public safety, businesses vendors that can apply and get businesses, the hotel rooms. You're not going to be able to put hundreds of thousands of people in the hotels in downtown Pittsburgh. It is going to be spread out, much the way when we host the U.S. Open, which obviously is coming to town this year. They all can't stay in Oakmont. They stay in places around the region, and then we have to figure out how to get people from point A to point B.
It's a very big economic opportunity. Do you have any sense? And I know there's talk about what that will bring to the region from a money standpoint.
Yeah, when you talk to Jarrett Bacher and the Visit Pittsburgh folks, they estimate anywhere from $150 to $200 million of direct spend coming in. There's also other intangibles that you really can't put a price tag on as people become exposed to the region and people come to visit and, you know, like many of us, fall in love with what's going on here and learn about the opportunity. So it won't just be the visitors, but the eyes of many around the world and around the nation will be watching Pittsburgh as the draft on, you know, they'll be obviously following their own team and their own rooting interests, but we will be showcased in other ways, which will be hopefully be positive as well.
And they'll be flying into a new airport.
They'll be flying into a brand new airport, and I'm sure Christina Kasotis and her team will be ready and roll out the red carpet and show what Pittsburgh really is about. And that's a big part of what the airport as the gateway to Pittsburgh, when people come here for the first time, will be shown.
And that new airport is your baby. I understand that. But I was surprised. I was with a group of people last week, and I was talking about they're eliminating the tram, the new airport. You go right to, you know, the terminal side. And they were like, what? So while it seems like everybody should know that now, it's a funny. People won't pay attention to it until you actually get ready to cut the ribbon. But, yeah, you'll be going right to TSA right there where the gates are.
People will be amazed when they go to the airport. And you're right. Not everybody's following it like, you know, many of us do. And certainly you and the station have covered it very, very well. But when people take that first flight or come for the first time and they realize, wow, I'm not parked a mile away from my gate and have to get on a people walker and a tram, and I'm right near my gate. Wow, that's very nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a tremendous addition to the region, and thanks to you for that. And when we come back, St. Patrick's Day Parade, who is Hellbender when it comes to artificial intelligence, and more about the bicycle commuters. They're making changes downtown on our roads in the Strip. Big K Morning Show, Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Now, being Irish, Rich, I know this is a big weekend for you. The St. Patrick's Day Parade, which has a long history, a very proud history in this city, it's a big, big day.
It really does, and it has had a great history, and it's one of the biggest parades in the country. I think we claim it's second or third or whatever it is in the nation. And one of the things that's always happened, and I did it for 25 years during my political career, we would always get the big national players. I remember Joe Biden marching in that parade as vice president. I remember Hillary Clinton when she was a candidate, Barack Obama, Tom Wolf, Josh Shapiro, even people that weren't from Pittsburgh but were running, whether it's a Bob Casey or now a Dave McCormick or a John Fetterman, those statewide candidates would always make sure they came to Pittsburgh for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And again, it's a great tradition. You would see the same families who would show up on the same street corner every year. It was like a family reunion where people came together. And it's also typically kind of a nice day. And that's always like maybe one of the first nice days we've had after a tough winter. So it's just a great day of celebration in many ways.
And weather-wise, Saturday approaching the mid-70s.
How about that?
So the parade in the morning, I mean, that's not usual. This is a really good opportunity. Normally, it's a lot chillier.
Yes, and also having a son who owns an Irish pub, one of their biggest days as well.
He's
already preparing and made the order in for the Guinness and all that kind of good stuff.
And it goes right into St. Patrick's Day Monday.
It's a whole celebration that kind of has somewhat already begun. Tonight's a big night they have different celebrations. I don't even know all of them, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. The St. Patrick's Day button party, which is a big celebration they had last week at the Priory, 300 or 400 people that were there, the Irish music. It's just a great tradition that we've had in Pittsburgh.
And Friday they sold out the Priory for the Donnybrook. They call it, they bring in boxers from Ireland and they, the local Golden Gloves, you know, they have a boxing matches and an exposition.
They sell that out every year. Jim Lamb and the Ireland Institute do a great job of bringing a guy's named Michael Carruth. He was the only gold medal winner from Ireland, and he brings a young group of fighters to come in and they box. It's a great celebration, and they also stay for a few days and they enjoy the Irish culture that we have here in Pittsburgh and spend a few dollars.
Well, it's not a surprise that a lot of Irish settled here. Some ways it looks like Ireland in different places in Western Pennsylvania, and we had jobs through manufacturing back in the day.
We did, and when you think about, you know, over the years, we've had obviously a lot of Irish politicians who have won offices. You know, we've had Mayor Flaherty and Mayor O'Connor and Mayor Murphy, Congressman Coyne, Congressman Doyle. So we've had, you know, there have been a few Irish folks who have made their way into the highest offices in the region.
Rich Fitzgerald.
What other name?
All right, before you go, who is Hellbender?
Well, Hellbender is an AI company that was located and is still located out in Harmerville at the old Gulf Research Center called UPark now. Right off of 28, if you're ever driving out that way. They've also decided to expand and add a lot of jobs, up to maybe 300 jobs in Bakery Square. They provide a lot of the infrastructure for a lot of the robotics companies in and around, all over the country, but certainly in and around here. So that expansion was a really, really big deal for this region. And we've talked about AI in the past. We're just the infancy of where we need to go. One of the things we've talked about is electrical grid enhancement and power that is going to be needed for this new industry.
They did a big story on that on CBS this past week about Three Mile Island.
Three Mile Island, yes, is in the news for, what, 40 years ago or 45 years ago, and they'll be recommissioning that. And they're going to be adding, I think it's like 800 megawatts, which is an immense amount of power, and Microsoft has already taken it all.
You know? And unless you saw the movie Back to the Future, nobody knows what 800 megawatts really means, like the flux capacitor, but it's a big deal.
We're going to learn about it as time goes on, how important that is, and hopefully we'll also see those jobs.
Rich, always interesting. Good luck today. You have another big meeting.
We got a lot of meetings down in Washington County. They're doing a big expo on housing. The county commissioners, Mr. Sherman, Commissioner Sherman and his team, Howard Hanna, is doing a lot of work down there, and we're going to be down there. Again, housing, housing, housing. We've talked about it. The needs are insatiable, and we're going to try and do some things to help.
All right, well, happy St. Patrick's Day, too. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Aaron, go brah.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.